Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107.
Tuesday, 1 Kings, 9 November 2004. Tuesday, 1 Kings, 9 November 2004.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore open the scriptures to Matthew chapter 16. Continue with the doctrine of following the Lord. Matthew 16. And in preparation to worship our Lord, a few moments of silent prayer, giving you the privacy of your priesthood, the opportunity to make sure that you are filled with the Spirit, no unconfessed sin in your life, so that you're ready to worship God, shall we? Father, we thank you again for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, sir, for the freedom we enjoy in America. And as we assemble now to worship you through the study of your word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. November 4th, Hal Lindsey, America Renewed. John Kerry conceded defeat after one of the most acrimonious political campaigns in U.S. history. What about Election 2000, you ask? Election 2000 wasn't decided until November 2nd, 2004, when George W. Bush received the greatest number of popular votes for any president in U.S. history, more than 4 million more than Senator Kerry. George Bush has been running for this victory for 4 years now, in between consoling a nation post-9/11, toppling the Taliban in Afghanistan and replacing it with a freely elected democratic government, and removing Saddam Hussein from power, shutting down his rape rooms and torture chambers, and giving Iraq an opportunity to see what it was capable of when not under the heel of a tyrant. As a happy added bonus, the crazy Libyan dictator Muammar Gaddafi proved he wasn't as crazy as he seemed when he saw Saddam Hussein hauled dirty and disheveled from a tiny hole in the ground by U.S. troops saying, quote, "greetings from George W. Bush," unquote. He suddenly remembered he had a stockpile of prohibited weapons himself. And he promptly called the White House and asked if we would mind removing them for him. While George Bush was campaigning against the leftist media, who told the international community he was the usurper who stole the White House so that he could benefit his oil buddies, he also had to campaign among our allies who believed what they read in the New York Times. And through it all, Bush was forced to take half steps in order to keep the partisans from rioting in the streets in protest. Until November 2nd, 2004. That was the day that America told our troops in Iraq and Afghanistan that they were not sacrificing their blood and tears in vain. It was the day America told Osama bin Laden to go to hell. It was the day America said it was tired of the bickering, tired of the accusations, tired of the liberal media painting America as an international bully, and tired of being forced to apologize for being Americans. On November 2nd, 2004, America said it was tired of activist judges legislating from the bench. It was the day America said that moral values meant more than empty promises. It was the day that America told the terrorists that they were losing. Indeed, that they have lost. The Osamas and Zarqawis of this world won't be facing a new and untested liberal government led by the leader of the Vietnam anti-war movement. They will continue to face the same George Bush as before, only unencumbered by political considerations or special interest groups. George Bush's political career ends on January 20th, 2009, no matter what else may happen. America's enemies now face a determined and resolute American president, politically invulnerable, and leading a nation who just handed him a firm mandate to stay the course. Election 2000 took more than 4 years to settle. Much has happened in the interim that now needs dealing with. Now that it's finally over, it's time for America to settle the score, to restore her stolen honor, and to move on. And may God bless America. The doctrine of following the Lord. And to the extent that the believers in this country fulfill this principle, God will bless America. Point 9 in the doctrine is following the Lord wholeheartedly, a phrase that is found in the Old Testament with regard to two heroes of the Old Testament, Joshua and Caleb, in the middle of an apostate and reversionistic generation and nation. A generation and nation that for the most part died the sin unto death in the wilderness. For while they followed the Lord, they obviously did not follow the Lord wholeheartedly. But Joshua and Caleb did. And they entered the land. A land flowing with milk and honey. A land of great prosperity and blessing. And this is what is the hope for America, that the believers in this country follow the Lord wholeheartedly. And now we note the point that following the Lord wholeheartedly is the cost of discipleship, Matthew chapter 16, verses 21 to 28. This is a great passage, and I think the thrust of this passage has been missed by most exegetes. And we are covering some things that I think are extremely valuable and important in this great passage on following the Lord. Matthew 16, 21, from that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law. Now, suffering for Christ was never deserved suffering. That's blasphemy. He did face a lot of suffering, but it was always undeserved and unfair suffering. And he had to face and suffer undeservedly many things. And that he must be killed, the ultimate expression of unfair and undeserved suffering, the cross, Operation Grace, salvation, the hope for mankind, as all of the sins of the world were poured out on Christ and judged. And on the third day, be raised to life. Because why? Because he won the victory of the cross. Because he accomplished the purpose for which he came. And so he was resurrected and then ascended and seated at the right hand of God the Father. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. Never, Lord, he said, this shall never happen to you. And it's real important that you see in the context, in what follows, the teaching that Christ gives the followers, that he's teaching his disciples, and specifically, he's teaching Peter, who was confused, on some very important issues. So, one, we know that this is addressed to believers. It's addressed to his disciples. Specifically, it's addressed to Peter. That's important in this context. And a lot of people miss this, and all of a sudden they go and think that the Lord is talking primarily to unbelievers, but in our context, he's addressing Peter. He's addressing the disciples. Verse 21, he began to explain to his disciples. He is responding to Peter's human viewpoint, his erroneous thinking. Peter is living a life, but he's living the cosmic soul life, and God has something far, far greater than the cosmic soul life for us as believers. And that's the spiritual soul life. And so as he goes on in this passage, you understand the context. And to note that he is addressing believers, addressing Peter, is important when we get down to verse 25 and verse 26 and verse 27. Jesus turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the things of God." You're not thinking Bible doctrine. You're not thinking divine viewpoint, but rather the things of men, human viewpoint. Then Jesus said to his disciples, you know, after straightening Peter out and pointing out the problem, now he gives a solution and explains to him the cost of discipleship. If anyone would come after me, be a disciple of Christ, he must, one, deny himself, imperative mood. Two, take up his cross, recognize the authority of Jesus Christ. And three, follow Christ. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will find it. The key here is the word that's whoever wants to save his life. That word life is actually the Greek word psuche. P-S-U-C-H, long E. This is the Greek word that is translated, and if you look up Arndt and Gingrich, the Greek lexicon, it talks about psuche as one meaning soul, two meaning life. And it Arnton Gingrich goes into great detail to explain that oftentimes you can't even distinguish between soul and life, and that the concept is really soul life. Because the soul is the center of life. Life functions within that soul. So they go through about two pages in Arnton Gingrich pointing out that this word psuche, which sometimes is translated soul, I think the NASV has it as soul. Oh, in the margin. Yeah, in fact, notice if you have the NASV, notice verse 25 in the margin, what does it have? Soul life. Soul hyphen life. The NASV in the margin. In the verse 25 it says, for whoever wishes to save his life, then it has a number one. You look over in the margin and it says, or soul life. Now the NASV has nailed it. Soul life in the margin. And when I, seeing that, and then going to Arnton Gingrich on page 902, let me read to you what A&G says on page 902, because this is what opened my eyes as to what is going on here, and I think a lot of exegetes have missed this, although the NASV is pointing to it in its translation in the margin, soul life. Arnton Gingrich, page 902, says, quote, since the soul is the center of both the earthly life and the supernatural life, a man can find himself facing the question in which character he wishes to preserve it for himself. And then they quote Matthew 16:25. In other words, Arnton Gingrich says that the soul is a place where you can live the earthly life, which I have called the cosmic soul life, or the supernatural life, which I have called the spiritual soul life. But whether you live the earthly life, the cosmic soul life, or the spiritual life, or the supernatural life, the spiritual soul life, it all functions within your soul. You decide as a believer which soul life you function under. You have to decide what you're going to live. The cosmic soul life, called, which Arnton Gingrich calls the earthly life, or the spiritual soul life, which they call the supernatural life, but both function in the soul. When I saw that, I said, hey, that is it. And then they stated this with this verse, Matthew 16:25. And that's what opened this up. And I don't think, I think a lot of people have missed this concept, and yet it's right there. So, we noted that psuche means soul or life or soul life, as the NASV has in its margin. And that the soul is made up of the mentality, the volition, the self-consciousness, the conscience, and the emotions. Physical life is the soul residing inside the body. Physical death is when the soul leaves the body. The soul being the center of human life. And that psuche or soul is used in the scriptures in a good and a bad sense. That's what Arnton Gingrich was noting. Sometimes it's used for the earthly life, earthly soul life, the cosmic soul life. And sometimes it describes the supernatural life, the spiritual soul life, depending on the context. There is a cosmic soul life and there is a spiritual soul life. or what A&G calls an earthly life and a supernatural life. And so to understand this passage, you need to understand this distinction. At the point of physical birth, we are born physically alive and spiritually dead. Man is born dichotomous, having a body and a soul, but in the status of spiritual death, no human spirit. And consequently, the Apostle Paul describes the unbeliever as the psychikos man, the soulish man. 1 Corinthians 2:14. The unbeliever has cosmic soul life. That's all he has. He has no supernatural life. He has no spiritual life, no spiritual soul life. The only thing the unbeliever has is an earthly life, a cosmic soul life. His thoughts are not God's thoughts. His ways are not God's ways. He has human viewpoint thinking. He is in the status of spiritual death. He's a slave to the old sin nature as the ruler of human life. He's a slave to Satan as the ruler of this world. In his mentality, he thinks human viewpoint. In his volition, he makes bad decisions. In his self-consciousness, he's arrogant. In his conscience, he has cosmic norms and standards. In his emotions influence and control his thought patterns or respond to false concepts. And therefore, the soul is used in Scripture to describe our earthly life, our cosmic soul life, our life as an unbeliever without God. But it's also used to describe our life as a believer when we're out of fellowship with God. And that's why the Lord said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan." Peter is saved. He's a believer. But he's out of fellowship with God. He's living the cosmic soul life. And that's why the Lord presented this. It's used to describe our life with its wrong priorities and human viewpoint thinking and personal prejudices and biases. Our life functioning in interlocking systems of arrogance and interlocking systems of hatred, the cosmic system. The loser in the plan of God wants to keep his cosmic soul life. The loser doesn't realize that by losing his cosmic soul life, he would find a far, far better soul life. The spiritual soul life. For at the point of spiritual birth, faith in Christ, God the Holy Spirit regenerates our human spirit. God the Father imputes eternal life to that human spirit and places us, God the Holy Spirit places us into union with Jesus Christ. This gives the believer the basis of having and maintaining a spiritual relationship with God, a supernatural soul life, the spiritual soul life. Now the believer can have a spiritual soul life based on relationship and fellowship with the living and true God. The believer can now set aside his cosmic soul life, his earthly life, for Christ's sake and find a better soul life, a spiritual soul life in the protocol plan of God. God wants every believer to lose his cosmic soul life and to find this spiritual soul life with its attendant rewards and blessings. You don't lose anything by way of blessing, by forsaking your cosmic soul life. In fact, you gain the highest and the best that God has for you. You find your spiritual soul life, and you find it by grace dynamics. One, the filling of the Spirit. Two, the metabolization of the Word of God. You find your spiritual soul life by fulfilling the mandates of verse 24. The spiritual soul life is infinitely greater than the cosmic soul life. The spiritual soul life results in great rewards and blessings that last forever and ever, while the cosmic soul life results in loss of those blessings. So the believer who is a disciple of Jesus Christ, the one who fulfills the mandates, the cost of discipleship in verse 24, lives the spiritual soul life. In his mentality, he thinks divine viewpoint. From his volition, he makes good decisions to execute the protocol plan of God of the church age. In his self-consciousness, he knows that he is nothing and God is everything. He's oriented to grace. He's developed a love for God, an occupation with Jesus Christ. In his conscience, he has divine norms and standards. And his emotions respond to the truth of the Word of God. And his emotions respond to God Himself. And therefore, psuche can be used in the high sense of the spiritual soul life, of our life as a believer in Jesus Christ, enjoying a moment-by-moment relationship with Christ. And this is what our Lord is teaching Peter. He's saying, Peter, you've missed the boat here. You're not living the spiritual soul life. You're living the cosmic soul life. You're preserving your plans rather than recognizing my authority and following me. You see, you have to deny self, Peter. Your plans are out. Get under my authority and follow me. The plan of God and His Word is in. Your plans are out. God's plans are in. It's used to describe the Christian way of life with its correct priorities and divine viewpoint thinking and basic virtue of humility and virtue love function, the spiritual life. The winner in the plan of God wants to lose his cosmic soul life, and he wants to find his spiritual soul life. The winner realizes that by losing his cosmic soul life, he will find an infinitely greater soul life, the spiritual soul life, which is a supernatural life, a life that can't be produced by you, but a life that is produced by God, the filling of the Spirit. The Spirit of God. Keep on being filled with the Spirit. Walk by means of the Spirit, and you will not carry out the lust patterns of the sin nature. The Lord Jesus Christ instructs those who wish to be His disciples to lose their cosmic soul life, i.e. Peter. Pete, you gotta lose your cosmic soul life for my sake, he says. For the sake of Christ. For the sake of occupation with Jesus Christ. Find your spiritual soul life to live as Christ, to die as prophet. The Word of God tells us that the pastor's job is to faithfully study and teach the Word of God, being concerned for your soul. How is the pastor concerned for your soul? That you live the spiritual soul life. That you lose the cosmic soul life and live the spiritual soul life. Turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 15. But you see, if I hadn't gone to Arndt and Gingrich, page 902, and read what we had there, in fact, 901 and 902, most of you, it scares you half to death that there's even a book that has that many pages. And no pictures either. But if I hadn't gone there and read through that and come to that paragraph, then I'd still be floundering and get down to the verse 25 and 26 and then slip all of a sudden out of the context of addressing Peter and disciples and make the application to unbelievers and salvation, when that's not the primary purpose of what Christ is doing here. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 15. But I have to say, the old NASV started out in the margins. Soul life. Soul life. Yeah, that's good. Soul life is good. And we're all living soul life. And as a believer, we're either living out of fellowship with God, the cosmic soul life, or in fellowship, the spiritual soul life. But we're all living soul life. You have an option, though. The unbeliever has no option. He can only live the cosmic soul life. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 15. And I, the Apostle Paul, communicator of the Word of God, will most gladly spend and be expended for your souls. Paul poured himself out. He was spent. And he expended himself. Why? For their souls. But why is he expending himself for their souls? Through the teaching of the Word of God. So that they might live the spiritual soul life. Glorify God to the maximum. Pastor's concern is for your soul. And the issue is that you lose your cosmic soul life and live your spiritual soul life. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. Hebrews 13, verse 17. One of the great passages on pastors and your attitude toward pastors. The pastor who teaches you the Scriptures. Hebrews 13, verse 17, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls. So 2 Corinthians 12, 15, the issue is the soul. Hebrews 13, 17, the issue is the soul, your soul. That you are living the spiritual soul life. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. And let them do this with joy, happiness, and not with grief. For this, that is, if they have grief at the judgment seat of Christ over your failures, this would be unprofitable for you. Why is it unprofitable for you? You lose out on all the greater grace blessings that God had for you. That's how it's unprofitable. It's eternally unprofitable. So 2 Corinthians 12, 15, Hebrews 13, 17, pastors faithfully study and teach the Word of God. Why? Because they're concerned for your soul, that you lose your cosmic soul life and live the spiritual soul life. All right. So, one. In Matthew 16, 25 and 26, the Lord Jesus Christ is contrasting the cosmic soul life with the spiritual soul life. Whoever wants to preserve his cosmic soul life, that's in direct opposition to the first command of verse 24, deny self. Whoever wants to preserve his cosmic soul life, that is, directly disobey Jesus Christ when he said deny self. Instead, you're preserving and keeping self, you're keeping your cosmic soul life. He will lose his spiritual soul life with its attendant blessings. And that's coming up in verse 27. But whoever loses his cosmic soul life for my sake, for the sake of Jesus Christ, will find his spiritual soul life with its attendant rewards and blessings. Two, to become a disciple of Jesus Christ, then we know in verse 24 that you must deny self. He's telling Peter, your plans are out, Pete. It's human viewpoint. In fact, it's satanic. You're a stumbling block. So to become a disciple of Christ, you must deny self. First factor of verse 24 in the cost of discipleship. Three, this means you must stop wanting to preserve or keep your cosmic soul life with its human viewpoint, its arrogance, its cosmic thinking, its wrong priorities. This means you must stop wanting to preserve or keep your cosmic soul life with its human viewpoint, arrogance, cosmic thinking, wrong priorities. Four, as a believer in Jesus Christ, you're now trichotomous. You have a body and a soul and a human spirit. You're spiritually alive. You have a relationship with God. And you have the basis for fellowship with God, a spiritual life, a dynamic, powerful spiritual life that's based on God's power, not yours. A grace dynamic in your life, a spiritual dynamic in your life. Now you can live a spiritual soul life, something you never could do as an unbeliever. You now have the indwelling and the filling of the Spirit. You have the place where you can find and discover a far greater soul life than your cosmic soul life, and that is the spiritual soul life. You started an adventure the moment you believed in Christ, an adventure that will lead you to find the most wonderful soul life ever, a spiritual soul life that's absolutely phenomenal. And that adventure began the day you believed in Christ. And you start seeking it as you go positive to the Word of God and you start growing in Bible doctrine. You seek it and you seek it and you seek it. You stay positive. You keep growing. You keep advancing. And then you find it. You live it. You enter into all of the attendant blessings and rewards in time as well as for all eternity. Five, you now have a personal relationship with God and the basis for fellowship with God, moment by moment, day by day. Six, this means that now you need to exchange your thinking for God's thinking. Your wrong priorities for right priorities. Your cosmic soul life for the spiritual soul life. You see, one soul life that really wasn't that hot, it's time to lose that one and find a soul life that's absolutely amazing, powerful. Seven. However, the believer who is a loser wants to preserve his cosmic soul life. He wants to keep it. You see, he's had it for a long time, ever since he was born up to the point of salvation. We get really quite familiar with our cosmic soul life. And the loser believer wants to keep his cosmic soul life and maintain the human viewpoint and wrong priorities that he had as an unbeliever. 8. The loser thinks his plans for happiness and prosperity are better than God's plans. However, point 9, man's plans and man's human viewpoint results in minus H, misery, deserved suffering, pseudo-prosperity, that is, prosperity that's here today and gone tomorrow. Minus H is very fleeting. Minus H is very temporary. The happiness of God stays with you regardless of circumstances. 10. And therefore Jesus Christ declares, whoever wants to preserve or keep his cosmic soul life, suke, his earthly life, his cosmic soul life, his human viewpoint plans and wrong priorities, he will lose it. He will lose what? Well, you won't lose your cosmic soul life. You will lose your spiritual soul life. You keep the cosmic soul life, you will lose the spiritual soul life and all of the blessings and rewards that are attendant with that life. And those rewards come up in verse 27 of our passage. Shall lose it. See, sometimes you all wonder, where in the hell did he come up with his soul life? And cosmic soul life, spiritual soul life. Well, Arnton Gingrich, page 902. Along with the ministry of God the Holy Spirit and the spiritual gift of pastor teacher and spending the time to study, shall lose it. And this is the apodosis or conclusion of this third class condition. We have the future active indicative of the verb apolumi plus the intensive pronoun autos. Apolumi. A-P-O-L-L-U-M-I. Apolumi. It actually means to ruin. If you keep your cosmic soul life, our passage says you will ruin your spiritual soul life. You will ruin it. You will destroy it and therefore lose it. The believer who makes bad decisions to keep his cosmic soul life, his human viewpoint plans, ruins and destroys his spiritual soul life. And therefore, he loses any possibility of having genuine happiness, sharing the happiness of God or the greater grace blessings for both time and eternity. And therefore he loses the special rewards of discipleship. And then we have it. And it is the intensive pronoun autos. It refers to the word suke, soul life. Arnton Gingrich, page 902, which says that this passage recognizes that the believer must choose between the earthly soul life and the supernatural soul life as to which one we're going to live. Noting this passage, this time the Lord uses it in its high sense of the spiritual soul life. And then, the last half of verse 25, we switch to the winner believer who fulfills the commands of verse 24 in the cost of discipleship. But whoever loses his life, denies self, factor number one of verse 24, gets under the authority of Christ, takes up his cross, and follows Christ, whoever loses his life for my sake. Now you recognize that Jesus Christ is the authority in your life. Now you follow Christ. Now you advance to spiritual maturity. Now you live the spiritual soul life. You develop occupation with Jesus Christ. You find the spiritual soul life. But is the conjunction of contrast, de, D-E, setting up a contrast. It should be translated but, so let's note 5 points. One, it sets up a contrast between the losers mentioned in the first half of verse 25 with the winners now described in the last half of verse 25. Two, death sets up a contrast between the believers who fail to fulfill the commands, the cost of discipleship in verse 24, with those who do fulfill the commands or the cost of discipleship in verse 24. Three, death sets up a contrast between those believers who make bad decisions to keep their cosmic soul life, their human viewpoint, their personal prejudices and biases, with those believers who make good decisions to lose their cosmic soul life for the spiritual soul life and its divine viewpoint, right priorities, humility, and virtue love. Four, death sets up a contrast between the cosmic soul life believer and the spiritual soul life believer. Five, death sets up a contrast between the believer who will lose his greater grace blessings with the believer who will receive the conveyance of his greater grace blessings. But whoever, and again we have the relative pronoun host plus the particle of contingency on. So we have host, looks like this, H-O-S, and this little particle of contingency on. Host literally means who. When you add the particle of contingency, you add the word ever. Whoever. And hos on plus the subjunctive introduces a second third class condition. And this third class condition introduces the winners in the plan of God. It introduces those believers who become disciples of Jesus Christ, those who follow him wholeheartedly, fulfilling the commands of verse 24, the cost of discipleship, denying self, taking up your cross, and following Christ, and thereby receiving the conveyance of their greater grace blessings in both time and eternity. The third class condition says, if anyone loses his life, cosmic soul life, for my sake, third class condition, some will. But unfortunately, some believers will not. It's strictly up to you. You know, my desire is that you all lose your cosmic soul life for the sake of Christ and find your spiritual soul life. If you only knew what the spiritual soul life held out for you, you would lose your cosmic soul life in a heartbeat, because the spiritual soul life is infinitely greater. But it's up to you. Loses his life. Aorist active subjunctive of the verb apolumi again, plus the noun psuche with the intensive pronoun autos. And again, apolumi means to ruin, to destroy. And if something is ruined and destroyed, it is thereby lost. The cosmic soul life is destroyed and lost by volitional decisions of the believer. It is destroyed by you choosing to function under the authority of Christ and follow Him. It is destroyed by you living the spiritual life. It's destroyed by you executing the protocol plan of God for the church age. The aorist tense is constative, viewing the destruction and loss of one's cosmic soul life in its entirety. You see, it takes lots of decisions. It doesn't happen overnight. This is the result of plotting, being persistent in spiritual growth. This is the process of making good decisions today and then tomorrow and then the next day. Decisions to put God and His Word as high priority in your life. The active voice, the winners in the plan of God, the disciples of Christ, perform the action of destroying their cosmic soul life. And the subjunctive mood goes along with hosts on to introduce this third class condition. But the word life, whoever loses his life, guess what? It doesn't say whoever loses life. It says whoever loses his psuche. Whoever loses his psuche. Now, you can't lose your soul. Your soul is eternally saved the moment you believe in Christ. You can't lose your soul, but you can lose your cosmic soul life, your earthly life. You can lose that. So we have psuche here. It's your cosmic soul life. That cosmic soul life as illustrated by Peter in verse 22. Functioning under that cosmic soul life. Since he was living the cosmic soul life, the Lord addressed him as someone under the influence of cosmos diabolicus. Get behind me, Satan. You're living the cosmic soul life. You're being influenced by the temporary ruler of this world, the fallen angel, Satan. Psuche here. So it's not the word for life, it's the word for soul, soul life. But whoever, the winner in the plan of God, who loses his soul life, cosmic soul life. Whoever loses his cosmic soul life for my sake. And this is what he's telling Peter. You know, you're not there yet, Pete. You got a long ways to go. But here, this is it. You lose your cosmic soul life for my sake. then you will find the spiritual soul life and glorify me to the maximum. And Peter did. For my sake, the improper preposition anakin plus the genitive singular of the personal pronoun ego. E-N-E-K-E-N. Anakin. Means because of, on account of, for the sake of. Very important. Because of, on account of, for the sake of, ego, E-G long O, as an object of the preposition, you translate it me, the accusative. See, some of you are always worried about English. Is it me or I? Well, it depends on whether it's accusative or nominative. If it's the object of a preposition, it's accusative. It's me. Me is accusative. See, English is easy. Now let's go on. The prepositional phrase, because of me, referring to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because of me, because of Christ, for the sake of Christ, on account of Christ. And it refers to the fact that now you have put yourself under the authority of Jesus Christ. You've taken up your cross, you're following Him, and guess what has happened on the way? You love Him. You're occupied with Him. He's your life. To live as Christ, to die as profit. You see, the winner loses his cosmic soul life for the sake of occupation with Jesus Christ. That's where you're going. That's what the Lord's saying here. You need to lose your cosmic soul life for the sake of me, for my sake, for the sake of occupation with Jesus Christ. But whoever loses his soul life, cosmic soul life, for the sake of me, occupation with Christ, shall find it. The future active indicative of the verb heurisko plus the accusative singular of the intensive pronoun autos. Heurisko, H-E-U-R-I-S-K, long O, heurisko, silver-tongued orator that I am here. And it means to find after seeking, to find after searching. You ever want to find something really, really bad? You wanted to find it very, very bad, and you search and search and search and search. You know, on that doggone goat hunt, first day, heading up the chute, going through aspen trees, they're bushes, you got to climb through this stuff with a full pack and a rifle over your shoulder. The bushes, grab the rifle, keep falling off, grabbing your pack, hit the guy in front, the branches come back, hit you in the face. All of a sudden, the branch flipped my glasses off. Well, when my glasses are flipped off, I'm in trouble because I'm nearsighted. I can't see to find them. All of a sudden, I started searching. Because for something I wanted to find real bad, my glasses, so I could see. First day of the hunt, we just got started, and I've lost my glasses. And we're on a hill like this. And I assumed on a hill like this, the glasses would be at my feet or down. So I'm looking and looking, and Jan's looking, and Craig is looking, and Deer Hunter. And the two guides are up ahead going, "Oh, brother, who do we got here? And what do you got? What happened? Lost my glasses. You lost your glasses." I thought, "Hey, the hunt's going to end right here. We barely got started." I'm searching because I really, really, really want to find my glasses. Otherwise, I can't tell any difference between my guide and a goat. Which would at least somewhat justify if I shot him. And a couple times that the thought entered my mind. Just to slow him down a little bit, you know, kind of wing him. Maybe knock a kneecap out or something. Just slow him down a little bit. Well, it turned out the branch took the glasses and flipped it up the hill, and they were up the hill. And Colonel Horvath was down crawling on his hands and knees and all going uphill. I'll be damned if he didn't find my glasses. Well, Jalisco means to seek something that you want to find very, very bad. To find something after looking and looking and looking and searching. The seeking is the persistence, the consistent positive volition to Bible doctrine, the consistent making good decisions for God and His Word, and taking in doctrine, and taking in doctrine, and taking in doctrine. The persistence in spiritual growth, the persistence in advancing in the plan of God. And the result is finding a phenomenal life, the spiritual soul life. You find occupation with Jesus Christ. You find the happiness of God. You find a personal sense of destiny. You find virtue, love. The future tense is nomic, describing a timeless axiom of Scripture. And the axiom is, any believer who is persistent in seeking this spiritual soul life, who is persistent in learning and believing God's Word, living the spiritual life, he will find his spiritual soul life with its attendant rewards and blessings. And the active voice, the disciple of Jesus Christ, the winner in the plan of God, performs the action of finding this magnificent spiritual soul life, this supernatural soul life. And the indicative mood is declarative. This is a fact of the Word of God. It, again, the intensive pronoun autos referring to soul life, and here it refers to spiritual soul life. For whoever wants to preserve his cosmic soul life, he will ruin and destroy his spiritual soul life. But whoever destroys his cosmic soul life for the sake of me, Jesus Christ, he will find his spiritual soul life. All right. Well, that is what the Lord is teaching here. And I think it's really cool stuff. Hopefully it's being communicated so you can understand it. And understand this passage. We're going to pick it up at this point next time. Thank you, Lord, for your grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.